land was made for you and me.
Hello, everybody. This is Basma, and welcome to the another edition of the People Speak Radio Show. Here, we believe when the people speak, they make a difference. Today, I will be speaking with Shannon Lee, daughter of Linda Cadwell Lee and the famous Bruce Lee, martial artist and actress. Shannon, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much.
Fascinating history that you have here. Bruce Lee, your father, you were very young when he died, weren't you, Shannon?
I was 4 years old when he passed away.
Do you have any memories of him?
My memories are very brief. They're not fluid memories like you have later in life as an adult, where you recall all things that were said and situations from beginning to end. My memories are more like brief snapshots. Like, I kind of remember. I remember going to the set, visiting him on the set. I remember,
you were
being
in one
house
of his movies, weren't you?
Excuse me?
Weren't you in one of his movies as a child?
No, I was not.
Oh, okay. I thought you were somewhere. I seem to recall reading that somewhere at one time.
You may have.
I may have. I'm sure that there's probably a lot of things that people read that aren't necessarily true. your mother raised you after the death of your father?
Yes, myself and my brother. My mother raised us.
And you moved to California?
We did. We located in Southern California in the Los Angeles area when I was 5, and I lived there until I went away to college at 18.
You did live in Japan for a couple of years.
I lived in Hong Kong. From the ages of 2 to 4, when my father was alive. When he died at when I was 4, then we left Hong Kong. But it took us a little while to find a place to sort of land and put down roots. We lived in Seattle for a time, which is where my mother was from, but eventually we went back to Los Angeles.
And your mother kind of kept tabs, and there was a movie after your father's passing that she had quite a lot of issue with, wasn't there?
Which movie are you referring
well,
to?
Well, I know that it was The Life of Your Father, but I guess it was something that she had opposed at the time.
Well, you know, there were a number of movies that came out. I don't know the specific movie you're referring to, but there were a number of movies and articles and all sorts of things that were written shortly after he passed away that were very exploitive and conspiracy theory-esque, if that is a word, and that she was not happy about. But that sort of thing settled down to a degree. After a period of time, and the other movies beyond that point were, you know, they released Game of Death, which was a film that my father made, but did not finish during his lifetime, and the company Golden Harvest that was producing it took the existing footage and married it to some new footage and released that film. Mm-hmm. And then, and that was when I was a kid of about, gosh, I guess I was probably about 8 or... somewhere in there, 8 or 9, somewhere in there. And then, of course, in 1993, Dragon, the Bruce Lee story, was released, but that was done in connection with my mother.
She helped facilitate that happening, the continuation, actually, because he did die during that movie.
No, Dragon, the Bruce Lee story, was a biopic that was shot by Universal. It was... they optioned the rights to the book that my mother had written called Bruce Lee, The Man Only I Knew, and
yes.
They did a biopic of his life story, which was released in 93, and they consulted with her on that project.
When you read the book that your mother wrote about your father, did that kind of solidify the kind of person that you didn't really have an opportunity to know?
I would say that certainly when I read that book, I was quite a bit older. I was an adult when I read that book. Mm-hmm. And obviously it was a lot of the types of things my mother had told me about as a child growing up when she would talk to me about him. And so in that way it didn't necessarily tell me anything that I didn't already know, although it did go into great detail about the inquest following his death and that sort of thing, which is informative and something that you don't necessarily get into a lot of detail about as a kid. So it was, there were some things that were definitely informative in that book, but for the most part, it was really a it was really just an extension of all the things that I'd heard about him from her growing up. And I think that I would have to say that you know, the things that I hear from people that knew him, the stories that they tell are always really wonderful to hear from my perspective, but that they seem to ring true for me based on sort of a more inherent essential level in terms of how I perceive him on in an energetic and essential way.
Mm. Your brother Brandon died in almost an eerily similar situation. Not that your father was shot, but they were filming a movie at the time that was never completed during your lifetime. When he was killed, it was a lot of people seemed to believe that it was some kind of a curse that the family had on them. How do you feel about that?
I certainly don't believe in any kind of curse. If
good.
I did, I would probably lead a very sheltered life and be afraid to leave my home. But I don't live my life that way. You know, I think it was, I don't really see it as a curse or a coincidence or any of that thing. I think that the thing that is the most portraying of that is that it makes it extremely all the more tragic, if you ask me, that somebody who had a father who was in the prime of his life and died from an accident then had a son who was in the prime of his life and also died as a result of an altogether different type of accident, but an accident nonetheless. And I think that those two things just make for a much more tragic situation as opposed to a cursed situation.
Now, you were very young when your father died, but with Brandon, you were older. And how tragic for a young sibling to have to lose her brother that way.
Yes. It was definitely far and away the most tragic event of my life, in some ways more so than my father, because I was older and much more aware of what was going on, obviously. It was really horrible in many ways. It was tragic because of the loss of my father. It was tragic because of the loss of somebody whom I loved and adored and was such a vibrant light and such a fun and wonderful person. He was set to be married in 2 weeks, and I was going to be his best man at the wedding, best woman at the wedding. And, you know, he had his whole life ahead of him. He was 28 years old. And So obviously it was very terrible for me and for my family, and it was, to date, probably the worst thing I've endured in my life.
Probably very crushed. I can't imagine what your mother must have gone through, having such similar, not only the loss of her son, but the being reminded of all of the situation with your dad as well.
Yeah, definitely. It was extremely hard on her. But she's an extremely resilient and strong person, so, you know, she continues to live her life and live a joyous life. And you know, it's something that you work into your psyche and hold for your hold close to yourself in a way that you learn to hold it in a way that you can deal with it over a matter of time.
Shannon, in a world of men and martial arts and cinema, where did you fit into this, and how did you fit into this world?
You know, I think as a kid growing up, I didn't. but actually, I think that was by design. You know, my mom was always really great about allowing us to be our own people and pursue the things that we were passionate about. And I, when I was about 8 years old, I took some Jeet Kune Do classes. Jeet Kune Do is my father's martial art, and I did that for a few weeks, and I said, oh, I don't really want to do this anymore. And so I did not study martial arts as a child growing up. I didn't really come to that until I was in my 20s, actually, in my early 20s. And I think it was in part because, you know, I wanted to just be a kid doing what all the other kids were doing, and all the other kids at the time were playing soccer and volleyball and softball and doing all that kind of stuff, and so I was extremely athletic always, but my mom didn't push us one way or the other. And certainly we grew up in an extremely normal way. We never were involved in anything that was going on in Hollywood, or, you know, occasionally we would go and meet up with friends who had been friends of my father's who were martial artists, and we would attend, you know, celebrations of my father's first, you know, my father's birthday, or to recognize the date of his passing, or that sort of thing. But really, for the most part, I was not involved in the martial arts or movies or any of that kind of stuff until I was able to sort of choose it for myself as an adult.
And what do you think was the impetus for you choosing that path?
I think that it was a multifaceted. I think on the one hand, I was really became curious at a certain point, given what my legacy is and who my father is, about the martial arts and about what, because, you know, my father considered himself a martial artist first and foremost. And so he really loved the martial arts and felt that it had taught him everything about life through his study and practice and evolution of those arts. And so I think there was a curiosity on my part to understand that in some way, to be connected to it in some way. And then, you know, in terms of getting into acting, which I did do for a while and maybe doing again, I have always just really wanted to express something in a creative way. And I think that everything that I do is a function of expressing myself creatively, and I was always really into performance and that kind of thing as a teenager, and so it was sort of a natural to me to want to get out there and try some acting. And being Bruce Lee's daughter, you know, the things that people immediately think of you for are action films, so that's what I did.
Well, I'll tell you, I grew up on your father's films. My father was an avid Bruce Lee. I mean, if we wanted to get him to watch any TV at all, it had to be either karate or wrestling. That's what he called it, karate or wrestling. He didn't differentiate between any of the different forms of artistry that were involved in martial arts. All he knew was that it was either Bruce Lee, karate, or it was wrestling. And and I know that I speak for a lot of people that actually consider Bruce Lee to be a hero. And
yes,
watching you develop, knowing that you've been in a lot of films, you know, you've done things like Cage 2, High Voltage, Enter the Eagles. And I was mistaken here. I was looking at my notes, and I thought when it was a movie, I thought when I saw Dragon, you see Dragon, that's the first thing that you think about. but it was the biopic that I was, that from my understanding, is that you appeared in. And
yes.
You also have been in Blade, the science fiction television film epic, which I happen to love. I'm a sci-fi channel. What do you think your father would think of you being in the arts? Would he be proud, or would he worry about you?
I definitely think that he was a man who believed in finding your own path and self-actualization, self-expression, and I think that if he truly felt that that was something that I wanted to do, needed to do, needed to try to do, to express or find something out about myself, that he would be happy to support that. Certainly my mother was always happy to support us, my brother and myself, in whatever it is that we wanted to do. Now, that doesn't mean that a mom doesn't worry.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, that's part of letting your child be who they are. So, you know, I think that he would have been supportive and probably would have been quite a resource in terms of navigating the acting world and the film world and all that kind of thing.
Do you have any current projects going on, Shannon?
You know, actually, I'm in discussion to do a film for Sci-Fi Channel.
Fantastic.
So we'll see about that. I just hosted something on Spike TV. They had a Bruce Lee Day, and they showed Enter the Dragon, and I hosted the screening of that and talked a little bit about the film at the commercial breaks and that sort of thing. I kind of haven't been acting for the past few years because I had a daughter 4 years ago, and so I had been devoting my time to her and taking some time off, and so I hadn't been acting, but actually I've been thinking about getting back into it now, so you've caught
Beautiful.
Me at a good time.
And your daughter, Ren, is, what a beautiful name.
Thank you.
Just an unbelievable, and I don't know, somehow it reminds me of that, the Brandon episode, that flight, that bird in flight.
Mm.
What were the reasons you chose that name?
You know, it was rather interesting, as all prospective parents do. I had a baby name book, and I was looking through it. I actually came across the name Ren, spelled R-E-N, and I just loved the sound of it. I just loved the way that it sounded and the way that it flowed and came out of my mouth. And but I wasn't sure about, it seemed somehow like it needed something else. I loved the way it sounded, and then I thought, well, what about W-R-E-N? And I actually really went back and forth for a while, but came to really love the name because I feel like it's a really strong yet beautiful name. And I looked up the characteristics of wrens, and they're quite feisty little birds, and so believe you me when I say that she's aptly named.
Good for her. You have to teach her to channel it into a form of dedication and discipline in the martial arts.
And so, you know, I just came to find it to be an extremely beautiful name, and I loved that it had sort of an organic quality to it, as well as that.
Yeah, I loved it when I read that, and I thought, wow, what a beautiful name. You know, and I often wonder why people pick certain names, but that was just absolutely beautiful. Mix, you know, martial arts is just such an incredible combination of things anymore, it seems. Do you think your father, he wasn't really a traditionalist when it came to martial arts. He created his own style. So do you think that he would be impressed by some of the, like the Ultimate Fighting Championships and things that are going on in the fighting world? Do you think this is something that your father would be opposed to, or would he be, in his element trying to design new ways of fighting skills?
I think that he is would be extremely and was in his lifetime extremely open to new ways of thinking and testing, sort of testing the real combat in testing real combat in terms of martial arts. He certainly believed, you know, one of the reasons that he stopped training in traditional styles was because he believed that adhering to one style over another is that styles separate people instead of bring them together, and that really the truth behind real combat is to learn to use your arms and legs in a way that is simple and direct and devastating to your opponent, which is why he created his own art, Jeet Kune Do. And there's a bit of a misconception that Jeet Kune Do is a form of mixed martial arts. People think that it is, made up of 20 different arts, and it's a Taekwondo kick and a this kind of throw and, you know, that kind of thing. It's really not. Mm-hmm. It's really his own personal expression boiled down to a very simplistic and bare minimum approach in terms of how to most directly dispatch your opponent. That having been said, he really did believe in looking into other arts and looking into all the variety of ways that there are to use your body. And he certainly believed in real live combat. I mean, he was definitely a pioneer in terms of full contact sparring and no holds barred fighting. The UFC is definitely on that track, and they are a sport, so they have to have rules. Obviously, it's not just going to be a bloodbath, but but I think he would be very happy to see people.
Sometimes it is that, you know.
Well, sure, of course. In fact, I was just at the fight in Anaheim on Saturday night, so I enjoy going to watch it myself, but I enjoy it because I understand the skill involved in it. And I think that a lot of people see brutal violence, and it's hard to get past brutal violence, but really it takes a lot of skill and a lot of determination and courage to get up in there and do what those guys do and to be a well-rounded fighter. And so I think my father would applaud people trying to be the best fighters that they can be and to be well-rounded and be able to defend themselves against anything. So,
well, there is an element of showmanship that's involved in this as well, and I think that's kind of a hard mix to be able to bring a persona to the arena, to the ring, and still maintain an element of skill and what you're really there to do.
Hmm. Well, I mean, I don't know. In terms of showmanship, I mean, obviously they put on an exciting show, and obviously the fighters themselves have their own individual personalities. But in terms of what goes on in the ring, it's pretty much as real as it can be. And so it's not like wrestling where they're pretending.
No.
You know?
No, it absolutely is not. In wrestling, fighting to a great extreme. And it brings me to me, when I do watch wrestling occasionally with my nephew who just loves it, it reminds me of that same excitement that we had when I was growing up and watching your father.
Mm.
It had that sharpness. It had that thrill. It was something. It had great power to it. That watching traditional boxing, even boxing, I think pales in comparison to that kind of. There's a passion involved in that, if I'm not mistaken. At least that's what I sense. And I believe that's, you know, that, like I said, today's wrestling kind of mimics that feeling that people had when they watched the martial artists, such as your father in movies.
Well, and I think because, you know, for instance, with my father, what he did in his movies, while he tried to bring a certain amount of his own philosophy and his own art to his films, he was very conscious that films are for... entertainment.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of people get confused with what they see in his movies as being representative of Jeet Kune Do, which it's not. Jeet Kune Do is real fighting, and what he did in his movies was for entertainment value, and he was very conscious of that when making a film. And so in terms of something like wrestling, you know, they're putting on a show, and so it's exciting to people to see that kind of a show. And in terms of something like the UFC, the show is more the environment in which these, essentially, these gladiators get together and really do the business of combat.
Well, all I know is it's very exciting and it's a thrill. And for me, as I said, it brings back that same thrill when I was watching your father's movies and that type of genre that existed then.
Yeah.
And I think right now, even in the movies that we're seeing today, I mean, look at all the Kill Bill and all of that, there's this martial art at the core of it. There's this discipline, there's this honor, there's this respect, there's this, and I think that elevates the fighting aspect of it a great deal. We've got a caller online.
Okay.
Our first caller is Nellie, I believe, and from Texas. Nellie, will you please ask your question? Or Houston, I'm sorry. Well, that's Texas. Houston is Texas, folks, just for those of you that didn't know.
I managed to speak with you. I was a very big fan of your father, and I still am. I'm sorry to say I still am. What my question is, I admired his absolutely control over his mind and his body. Where did he learn this? My grandson is in martial arts, and he is rather successful. And he is a big fan, so when he comes, I can tell him this. And where did he learn his techniques with his mind? I don't see any martial art fighter today who has so much control over his body and his mind. And I'm so amazed with your father. This was my question to you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. For that question. You know, I think that really that is one of the legacy, the main legacy that my father left behind, which is that he was really, if you know anything about him other than his screen persona, he was a real, extremely thoughtful, deep thinker, and he was a person who really worked hard to actualize himself, to be the best him that he could be. And he studied philosophy quite a bit. And I think he got from the martial arts also his first taste of philosophy and of how to, in a physical way, express himself and evolve himself as a moving human being to the best of his ability. And the thing about him is that he was extremely focused. I mean, he obviously had a certain amount of ability naturally. However, he worked extremely hard, not only at perfecting his martial arts skills, but at perfecting his mind. He, you know, wrote all the time in notebooks. He had things that he would say. For instance, he had a quote about willpower where he said that he recognizes that the power of will is the supreme court over all the other departments of his mind, and that he wanted to exercise that daily when he needed the urge to act for any purpose. And so, you know, he would form habits designed to bring his will into action. And because he believed that that's how you make things happen, that you can sit back or you can take hold of your life and really create your life. And that was really what he aimed to do, and he was extremely passionate about that.
bringing your will into action. I really love that. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Shannon, may I ask you, do you follow the, have you trained in the same art that your father created, or have
I
you
have.
Gone on?
I have. You know, initially when I first started training in martial arts, I trained a little bit here or there in some karate and stuff like that, but I really was interested in getting into Jeet Kune Do, and so I studied with one of my dad's students by the name of Ted Wong, just in his backyard at his house, which is great, and because I really wanted to get to know the art and to understand my father a little bit better and to understand the level of his commitment better through the art that he created himself. And I've also studied other things. I've studied Taekwondo and Wushu and kickboxing and various other things because, to me, some of those things I studied in particular to prepare for films, and some of them I studied just because they were fun.
And you still study currently, correct?
I do. Certainly during the time that I had first had my daughter, those couple of years, I didn't really so much, but... I've gone on to get back to it.
Well, that's wonderful. We have a caller on line 3. Caller, can you give us your name, where you're calling from, and a brief question for Shannon Lee? Hello?
Hello.
Hi, your name is... What's your name, caller, and where are you calling from?
Sure. My name is Craig, and I'm calling from Illinois. And I just want to tell Shannon that I'm 39 years old and watched your father since I was a young child, and actually your whole family. And I just wanted to thank you from the bottom of my heart for the positive things and positive energies that you've brought to the planet. That's all I wanted to say, dear, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. That really does my heart good to know that people are affected in a positive way. So.
Well, your family has truly affected so many people in the world, Shannon. I know that for a fact. We have another call from Precious from New York City. Precious, can you give us your name and... again, is it Precious? And are you Precious? And your question for Shannon.
Shannon, my name is Precious from New York City. And my question to you is, would your father have admired the talents of Jackie Chan and Jet Li and all that they're doing for America today as far as, you know, our action films? And I have... posters of him all throughout my house. I was just interested in knowing, what did he do to get that 12-pack? How did he keep himself in shape? And I mean, he was a true lion to martial arts.
Yeah. Well, to answer the first part of your question, and first let me say thank you for calling. I think that my father would be thrilled with Jackie Chan and Jet Li's careers. My father was really just a supporter of the martial arts in general, and he had many friends that were in the martial arts that were in different areas of the martial arts, such as Taekwondo and karate and Kenpo karate and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, he really appreciated anyone that really dedicated themselves to the martial arts. And he obviously also really believed strongly in the world getting to see the beauty and the strength of Chinese culture, and that's obviously something that Jackie Chan and Jet Li have continued to put out into the world. And so I think he would be tremendously thrilled and supported by their careers as well as the careers of many others. Jackie Chan actually was a stuntman on Enter the Dragon. I don't know if you knew that, but... So they
a little
kind
bit
of
trivia there. Very interesting.
In terms of his 12-pack, You know, I think this is something that a lot of people don't really focus on or know, which is that he worked extremely hard. You know, he thought of the martial arts as his life vehicle, so to speak. And I was talking to my mom, actually, recently, and said to her, was talking to her about how many hours during the day did he spend training and working on his art. And she said, well, you know, what do you mean by working on his art exactly? Because he worked on it in everything and in every way. He wrote about it. He read about it. He choreographed fight scenes. He trained. He worked out. He sparred. He spent. He worked on it in a very complete and total way from all different sides. And he exchanged knowledge with other fighters, and he watched boxing films, and he did all these sorts of things. But she said that he probably did that anywhere from 9 to 12 hours a day. And that was what he did all day long. And he worked out incessantly. He was never just sitting still. If he was watching TV, he was stretching. If he was reading a book, he was working his grip machine. If he was, you know, so he would wait for an elevator and drop down and do push-ups. I mean, he just was constantly honing his body, and his body being an expression of who he was.
He sounds like he actually lived his art.
Exactly, and I think that that's really what I want people to know, is that he lived his art. I think a lot of people know who Bruce Lee is from his films, but they think he's just an actor who did martial arts in movies. But he was really and truly a martial artist, and he lived that way of life and lived his art.
How does it sound to you when you hear people have beautiful, precious women like Precious have posters of your father all over there and are admiring still to this day his 12-pack? That makes him a different kind of symbol from the young girl's imaginings. What do you think about that, Shannon?
I mean, I think it's awesome. I think it's terrific. I mean, you know.
Your dad was a hottie.
Yeah, I mean, obviously this is my father we're talking about, but,
exactly.
You know, really, really, there's not anyone who had a body like he had. I mean, he just worked it. Completely, and he was not only did he have this beautiful body, but he was so graceful and so powerful, and it's really just like, you know, this energy that comes off the screen at you when you watch him, and that's truly who he was in his life.
It's amazing. We have a call from KC in Seattle. KC, can you give us your question for Shannon Lee.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It's nice to meet you, Shannon. My name is Casey, and I live in Seattle, Washington. And I just wanted to say I'm honored to meet you, and I really enjoyed your father's movies. And I know he had a great sense of humor. I just had a couple of things to say. The one favorite part I like in the movie Enter the Dragon, when he says, "The art of fighting without fighting," that was one of my best parts I liked. And I have one book that really inspires me that I borrowed from the library really briefly. He wrote and was quoted, "Like the wind before him, like the warrior, he came, but his time would be short and soon to be gone, but his legacy remains." And surely his legacy does remain. And when I was younger, I did take some martial arts, but not much. And I just want to say, it's nice meeting you, and best wishes to you and your family. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, and I'm always so happy to see that people are so touched and inspired by his legacy.
Well, I think the internet, Shannon, has even renewed people's ability to access so much information about what for all intents and purposes, is a modern-day hero, and that was your father. We have another caller, Julie from South Dakota. Julie, your question for Shannon, please.
Yes. I'd like to know. On your dad's legacy.
We seem to be getting some echo here.
By encouraging your daughter. Okay, that's all.
I'm sorry. There was kind of a delay and an echo that was going on. I just heard something about my father's legacy and encouraging my daughter.
Yes.
What was the question exactly?
Will you carry on your dad's legacy by encouraging your daughter?
Oh, well, certainly. Thank you for the question. And, you know, I have made it sort of one of my lifelong goals to carry on my father's legacy, and certainly it is also my daughter's legacy. So it is my intention that as she grows older, that I will talk to her about him, that I will share his writings with her, that I will share his martial art with her, and all of those things, because I, you know, and as her interest and everything develops, I will all develop along with her, you know, what she wants to know. But I believe it's sort of my duty to keep that legacy alive for her, and to have her come to have some sort of an understanding of it. But I also feel like I want to keep that legacy alive for everyone.
Well, Shannon, you and your husband maintain the Bruce Lee Foundation, if I'm not mistaken. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, the Bruce Lee Foundation is a nonprofit organization that we founded in 2002. It's a California 501c3, and basically our mission is to preserve, perpetuate, and disseminate Bruce Lee's philosophies and life example and his art of Jeet Kune Do through many different avenues, such as inspirational events and educational programs, martial arts instruction, and ultimately our long-term goal is to create the Bruce Lee Museum, the official Bruce Lee Museum. So these are some of the things that we're working on. And the foundation is, you know, we're a small organization, but we're getting going with every year, and we hope to realize a lot of our goals soon. We have a scholarship program up and running. Actually, on October 27th and 28th, we're having a Jeet Kune Do seminar in L.A. Chinatown, and all of this stuff can be viewed on our website, which is brucelefoundation.org. And that website is actually in the midst of being redone, so in a few months there'll be something newer with a lot more information on it out there. But, you know, we also just really want to continue to inspire people through his legacy, because I think that it is such an inspirational legacy, you know, the way that he broke down barriers in his life, the way he faced adversity, and his perseverance, his physical and mental perseverance, and his inspirational presence of mind is just really something we want to continue to keep in the world.
And for those of you that want to find out more about the organization, www.brucelefoundation.org. Go there, and it's a wonderful site for those of you that have never been there. We have a caller on the line, Mike from California. Mike, can you give us your question for Shannon, please?
Yes. Hello, Shannon. It's a pleasure to have you on my show. It's kind of embarrassing I have to call into my own show to talk to the guests, but that's great.
And don't ever forget, you always have to do that, boss.
Anyway, Shannon, this is, I want to say how much I also admire Bruce Lee, and but, you know, something's been really weighing on my mind. What kind of political beliefs did Bruce Lee have? Was he like, being in San Francisco where he was, and the movie industry, was he like a liberal? Was he like an anarchist? What was he about? Thank you.
Wow. Thanks for the question. I don't know if I've ever been asked that question before. You know, to be honest, I guess I don't 100% know, except that I can say that my father believed certainly in, he believed certainly in being able to be the best that he could be. He didn't believe in racial barriers. He didn't believe in religious barriers. He didn't believe in segregating anyone, and he believed that there was beauty in every culture in the world, and that as human beings we were all really one family instead of many families. And in terms of his political beliefs, I would have to think that I don't know if they would fall down party lines. But he was a person who believed in realizing your greatest potential and in equality for people. So, you know, I don't know that that's necessarily a strictly left or a strictly right sort of vision. I don't think he was an anarchist in the sense. I think he believed a bit I think what he believed mostly in was in himself and in his ability. And I think that that comes across in every move that you see him make, is that he believed in himself and he believed that other people were allowed to be themselves as well. And where that falls in terms of party lines, I'm not really sure, but, you know, he was a pretty free thinker. So,
As an American, Shannon, of mixed ancestry, coming from English, Swedish, and Chinese history, we're living in a time now where there seems to be this resurgence of challenging the status quo of racism. Have you ever felt that you have been discriminated against in any way, shape, or form?
Not really. And I'll tell you, you know, obviously I'm half Chinese and half Caucasian. People, I think, a lot of times don't know how to classify me when they look at me. I've been thought to be Eastern European. I've been thought to be Hispanic. I've been thought to be whatever. I don't identify myself as that. I love my cultural heritage, all facets of it, but I don't identify myself as a particular race or mixture of races. I don't even necessarily identify. Sometimes I'm even surprised, I think, when people tend to classify me as a woman, even though
I love that.
Even though obviously I am a woman, but I don't think of myself as being bound by that. I think of myself as made up of the same stuff as everybody else. And so I think of myself as just another entity among everyone, and that I don't place those boundaries or those limitations on myself. Now, that doesn't mean that other people don't place those limitations on me, but they don't really affect my perception.
Well, I absolutely knew right from when you had stated that you were going to be the best man at your brother's wedding. that we had an empowered and impassioned woman here. I knew right from them, so this doesn't surprise me in the least. Let me ask you, Shannon, it's kind of a rite of passage for actors and actresses and people in the public eye. Is there a cause or an organization outside of the Bruce Lee Foundation that you are passionate about?
You know, it's interesting because it's very hard to, it's very hard. There are so many wonderful causes and so many wonderful organizations. I mean, I have supported Women for Women International in the past, and I've supported a number of local organizations and things like that. And I'm always happy to help where I feel that I can help. But I think that really the way that I feel about it is that By being the most self-aware and evolved person that I can be, me, Shannon, and then being able to touch the people immediately around me and help the people immediately around me, that essentially I can act as hopefully as some kind of a epicenter for caring that can spread out. And I think that if all people sort of took it upon themselves to start with themselves and then reach out from there, that we would have these amazing circles that would be crossing over one another throughout the world, and that really world change begins with the individual.
And if I were to ask you right now, what were your thoughts on President Bush, what would you say? That was if I were to ask you.
If you were to ask me that?
If I were to ask you that.
If you were to ask me that, this is what I might say, which is, personally, I'm not a fan. But I would also say that sometimes that I'm sure that we don't know everything that there is to know about him. Only he knows that the things that he does that affects people's lives. I'm not, as I said, a huge fan. However, I also think sometimes you have to go through some bad situations to really learn something of value. And so I don't necessarily view this as his current position as necessarily a waste of time, because I think that there are some valuable lessons to be learned and gained from them.
If I were to ask you another question, I would be fascinated in finding out how you would respond to this. You're a believer in the grace and the artistry that is involved in the discipline that is involved in fighting.
Do I appreciate that?
Obviously, just from your history and the fact that you are involved and engaged in the martial arts. As a form of training, your mm-hmm. history, your family history. How do you feel about war and fighting?
Interestingly enough, I am quite a pacifist, if you will. I don't believe in, and I think my father really was that way too, in the sense that he believed in the ability to protect himself and express himself in a physical manner. But I don't think he believed in hurting people. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that when it's a matter of skill and a matter of contest, that's one thing. That's two people agreeing to say to each other, we're going to have a contest here, and we're going to see how that goes between us. When it comes to hurting other people, I'm certainly not a fan of that. My father certainly did not believe in using his art to wreak random violence. He really believed, actually,
unless it was
that
on stage, that is.
Yeah, well, exactly. Unless it was not real, but. He actually believed that the martial arts gave you the confidence, and that if you were really knew that you were very good at the martial arts, that you really didn't need to prove it. You know, that if you proved it for your, that you if you knew it for yourself, that was really enough. And if you did it for the own physical, mental, and emotional, and spiritual. Lessons that it could bring to you as an individual, that was what you would do it for, and not so that you could go out and beat up people.
Wonderful. And from our audience, this is what I'm going to relay to you, a message from Precious. Shannon, you are the living breath of Bruce Lee with wise knowledge and, again, well-spoken, as another guest says. We want to thank you for being with us, Shannon, tonight. It's just been a true honor. Your father would have been proud of you, just so you know. And I agree that you are the breath of Bruce Lee. And I wish you all the success in your career, in your success in carrying on the legacy through your daughter and through generations to come. Next week's guest, folks, is Liz Rivera Goldstein of TeenPeace.org and United for Peace and Justice in the People's Peace Social Issues category. The show will air on October 2nd, Tuesday, at 8:30 to 9:30 p.m. Eastern. And Shannon, thank you for being with us this evening.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
Our honor. Good night, folks. That's a wrap. It's all done. At least until the ghost of Bruce Lee visits us again.
By the relief of the past, I saw my people. And they stood there hungry. And I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land. This land.